Bez Hashem Mizbarach, we begin Perek HaMishnah Asa, the 15th Perek in Hilchas Ishus, the Laws of Marriage, in the Sefer Noshim, the Book of Women from the Rambam, where he continues from the previous Perek, which was discussing the obligation of a husband and wife to have marital intimacy, which the next step related to that is the obligation of procreation, of having children, and of marital harmony, that of Shalom Bayit. Some of these we're going to discuss in today's Perek is the ideas of machla, if she is forgiving, if she look away on his not giving her appropriate aina, her marital intimacy, the mitzvah of privilege of being fruitful and multiplying, having children, the regarding if a man is married to a woman for Esther Shana for 10 years without having children, the idea of te'enes, if she comes with claims on her husband by saying that he's not able to father a child, the obligation of that a man should not be below ish without a woman, also that the woman should not be below ish without a husband, the obligation of a husband to be lekani, to warn his wife regarding inappropriate conduct, additionally that a husband should only have bia with his wife, midaita, with her consent, and that a woman should be tenua, should be discreet in her own house, she should listen to her husband, and that they should both be mechabed, they should both honor each other in their relationship. So begin Halacha Aleph, where the Rambam begins with the mitzvah of piri v'rivya, about having children. Says Rambam, he'isha shehirshas is bala. If a woman permits her husband, achra nisun, after they already got married, she saw that he will hold back her marital intimacy, which we said in the previous parag, the qualifications and the obligations that he has to his wife. But if she says it's okay, Hariz a mutter, then it's permitted, and he has not violated the pasuk that says he's not supposed to diminish her aina, because that's only without her permission. If she's okay with that, they could have that type of relationship. Now, the Medvah Murm, but says the Rambam, when do we say this? That's b'shal yilei banim. That's if he already has children, shikvar ki mitzvah peri, if he already fulfilled the mitzvah of having children, of being fruitful, multiplying. So all you have is, there's more than one idea in marital intimacy. There's his obligation to his wife. She could be meichel on that. And then there's, yeah, but that's the vehicle of having children. So if he has children and she's meichel, that's okay. Abalikim, if he did not fulfill his obligation yet, chayiv livel b'chalayna, then he has the obligation of having be with her by every interval, which is able to, as we said in the previous parak, which we qualified that that's actually his obligation. It's relation to her, but it's his obligation. And he has to go ahead and do it in every ayna, ashiyu lebanim, until he has children. Because as we said, the mitzvah of ayna is qualified, his obligation to his wife, but as long as she can be meichel that in the context of her own personal idea, but regarding his mitzvah perivya, that he can't stop doing. And the mitzvah mitzvah is just there because there's a pasuk in the Torah, like it says in the pasuk, as the Rambam pointed out, these four mitzvahs to aseh, to leisa says, that applying these halachas of ishes, of peru, uravu, be fruitful, and multiply, as it says, in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis. Halacha base. Ha'ish mitzvah perivya, says the Rambam, the man is commanded on the mitzvah of having children, of leisha, but not the woman, like it says, when it says peru revu, it says fill up the world v'chivshua, and it's the way of man to conquer, not woman. So therefore, we see it's only a man who has the mitzvah. Now, ve'emes ha'ish neschev mitzvah. So when does a man start becoming commanded in this mitzvah? Meben shva esrei, which according to this gear, so it's after he's completed 17 years and entered into the 18th year, like it says in Masechta Sovos, ben shmei esrei l'chuppah. When the person is 18 years old, he has to get married and have children. Now, v'kimen shavu esim shana b'leinasa isha. If he already passed the 20 years and he has not yet married to a woman yet, so he's violated and nullified this positive commandment about having children. But if he was engaged in learning Torah, and he was busy and perturbed by learning Torah, and he was afraid of getting married to a woman, so that he shouldn't be busy with trying to make a parnasa, providing food for his wife, and he's not going to learn Torah, then says the Rambam, he's permitted to delay getting married and having children. Because of the famous Talmudic dictum, "Shoisik b'mitzvah potem in the mitzvah," because someone is engaged in performing one mitzvah, he's exempt of doing another mitzvah. For koshkim b'talmud Torah, for sure, when he's engaged in doing talmud Torah. Now, although the mitzvah of Rivia is his mitzvah that's not able to be done by anyone else but him, and generally we say then learning Torah does not you stop learning Torah to do a mitzvah. This wouldn't be included because the mitzvah of having children is not a mitzvah veris. He can do it at a later point in time. And therefore, he could still learn Torah and then do that mitzvah at a later point in time of having children. Now, halacha gimel. Misha chashka nafsha b'Torah tumah, but someone whose soul desires Torah constantly. V'shoyga bo kibenazai, and he's totally, either he errs in it, or he's totally engaged in it, like Benazai, who actually got married, but he had to separate, which he said, what can I do? Moasa Shenefshi Chashke Batari says, the world could be sustained through other people having children. All I want to do is learn Torah. And he's totally engaged in it and cleaves to it all the days of his life. But like Nasa Isha, and he does not get married to a woman. In the other, but such a person has not committed a sin. But for who? It's only if only if his inclination is not overpowering him, where he has a desire for women, and then he's going to stumble in some other way. Because the Rambam says, but if his desires were overpowering him, then he has to get married to a woman, even if he had children already. Here, because he might come to even just impure illicit thoughts. And as the Gemara in Yuma actually tells us that the illicit thoughts are harsher than the sin itself. So even if he's learning Yom HaBalayla, but if his desires are getting the better of him, he has an obligation to get married. And that's even if he fulfilled them, it's a pure rivalry. Which is another concept, besides that of the Oina, which that's not in this case, and that of pure rivalry, there's also that of preventing here. Halach of doubt. Kama vanim yu le'ish. How many children does this man have to have? This guy mitzvah be other that's considered that he really fulfilled this mitzvah, which we said then his wife could be Michael Ma'ina and they don't have to have marital intimacy. Is Zachar in the cave, is a boy and a girl. Somebody says in the Pasuk in Bereishis, hey, Zachar in the cave of Bidon, that he created them male and female, which we see that that's the primary obligation of proliferation of the world. Now, but let's say Hayab ben Saris, let's say the son was a Saris, or the daughter was an islandess, which these are two types of male and female that are not able to further procreate, lekai mitzazu. So they have not fulfilled this mitzvah because the whole purpose is, like the Pasuk in Yeshaya, lesoy bro, leshevesi tzaris, to proliferate and not be able to. So that's not a fulfillment of this mitzvah. Halacha hey, let's say a similar type of a case, nodloy mesu. Let's say he had children that could have children, but they died. But v'nichu banim, those children of his that died, left over grandkids of his, they had children. Harizekim, it's a pure mitzvah, so he fulfilled the mitzvah of having children. Because b'nei banim, marim kabanim, grandchildren are like children. Now, but remember, when do we say this? But only if the grandchildren is one boy, one girl. And they were coming also from a boy and a girl of his own. So he had a boy and a girl, and his son and daughter had also, one of them had a boy, one of them had a girl. And the Rambam says, even if Shazocher ben Bito, even if the grandson is his daughter's son, van the Keva Bas Benoy, and his granddaughter is his son's daughter, doesn't make a difference. Since those two grandchildren are coming from his two kids, Harikim, it's a Pirvipir, where he had a boy and a girl, and although they're dead, but he has now grandchildren that's a boy and a girl. But let's say he had a son and a daughter and they died. And even if one of them that didn't die had a boy and a girl, or died but had a boy and a girl, a dying Lakim and mitzvah has still not fulfilled his mitzvah, because the two that he has from his son is only considered as one, because his daughter who died without any children, he has not yet had a second one from them. So as long as he has from each one with a boy and a girl, that would be okay. But if one of them had even 10, but the other one didn't have any children, that would not yet be a fulfillment of his obligation of a boy and a girl. Halacha vav, let's say he had children when he was a non-Jew. And this guy who became, now he converts with his whole family to Judaism with his kids. So he has fulfilled this mitzvah, because he has these children, which are his children, as a non-Jew, and those are his children. So now when he's converts, he already did the mitzvah. But let's say he had children when he was a slave, where a non-Jew, the slave of a Jew. Then him and his children get freed. He has not fulfilled the mitzvah. Why? That's only if he has children after he was freed. In contrast to a non-Jew, a slave is considered like a donkey. Im HaChamar, which is Amad Demel Chamar, like Eliezer, which is from Canaan, which are slaves, they don't even have paternity regarding their children. It's like it wasn't even like any yachas, any relationship whatsoever. So if it's not even like your children, therefore, it's not considered a fulfillment of the mitzvah peribriva. Now, Halacha Zayin, now the Rambam moves on to situations which are not able to fulfill mitzvah peribriva, that of barren people. So Halacha Zayin, let's say, says the Rambam, Lo Yisod Bakar, a man should not marry a barren woman, which is a woman who cannot have children, because that's when that happened. Uzikena, an elderly woman, it's already past the child-bearing ages. Va'alnis, a woman who's born like that can have children. Uketana, she'enrelated, or a young girl that's not able to yet have children. A man should not get married to such a woman. Unless he already filled the mitzvah of having children. Or he has another wife that he can fill the mitzvah peribah. But if you're getting married, that's part of the obligation of having children. Don't marry a woman that you can have children from. Now let's say Nasa Isha Veshasim Esther Shana Maliyoda. Let's say he married a woman who would seem to be able to have children, but he's married already for 10 years and she's not yet given birth. Harisa Yeitzi V'Yidin Ksuba. So he has to divorce her and give her a ksuba, because maybe he's not going to be able to have children from her. Where do we get the idea of 10 years? Which Avraham and Sarah, when once they moved to Eretz Canaan, he waited 10 years, and then he decided that they're going to get married to Hagar, because 10 years is already the amount of time that seems like maybe he's not going to have children. Or Yisi Isha Ru Leilet. Or he doesn't have to divorce her, but at least get married to another woman that he could have children from. Now, Vimlai Ratzla, let's say he does not want to divorce his current wife. And you force him and you hit him with a stick until he goes and divorces his wife so that he can fulfill the mitzvah. Well, let's say the mama, let's say he says, anybody, don't worry, I'm not going to cohabit with her. It's like as if I'm not married to her. If they're not going to hit him if he's not married. So I'll just dwell with her in front of witnesses. They're going to make sure that I don't seclude myself with her. So Bein Shamer he, Bein Shamer who, whether whoever she or he came up with this idea, Ein Shemin, we do not listen to this idea. Eli Yitzi has to divorce. So Yisi Isha related, or get married to another woman that's fit to have children, because as long as he doesn't divorce her, maybe another woman's not going to want to get married to him. But you're right, if he married another woman, he doesn't have to divorce the first one. But the reason why we force him to divorce her is simply as a way so that he has better chances of marrying a woman that will want to get married to him, that she doesn't have a co-wife, that woman could have children. Halacha Ches. Shas Esther Shanim, so like we said, let's say they waited 10 years, Vilayolda, and she didn't give birth. But, Vahadehu Yair Kechet Shech Vazera, his semen shoots forth like an arrow, which it gets ejaculated in a straight arrow, which that's the type of seed that could conceive a child. So, Cheskes Achelim Imena, then we presume that the illness, this inability to conceive, is from the woman, because she's not denying the fact that he seems to be able to shoot forth like an arrow. So she has to leave the marriage without a ksuba. But she does get the additions that he had written on to the ksuba when they got married, because as the Rambam explains, that she shouldn't be any less than the islandess who from birth cannot have children. That when he got married to her, he didn't recognize that she was an islandess. That the halacha is that she actually gets the additions, like the Rambam can explain later on in the Perek of Dalet, because the additions are a gift because of the endearment of having relations with her, which he did have. So that's not tied to the idea of being able to have children. So therefore, this woman would be the same thing, who was married for 10 years and not able to have children. Now, v'meina yerkechetz, let's say his semen does not shoot forth like an arrow, which is not able to conceive a child, then we presume that the problem of being able to have children is only from him, because he agrees or is silent to the woman's claim by saying that, hey, he's not able to do what he needs to do. And therefore he has to divorce her and give her the entire ksuba, ikarit tesevus, the primary part, and the addition part. Halacha tes. Let's see who Imer. He says, mimenu nimnohi lov. He says, it's my wife that's why we haven't yet given birth. Which, this is a continuation of when they're married for 10 years and she's not given birth, and he's claiming that it's her problem, and therefore she should be able to get divorced without him having to give her a ksuba. The American, she says, no, mimenu nimno. The problem is from him. Because he does not shoot forth like an arrow. So in the man, she's believed, as Ram is going to explain at the end of the halacha. So she gets the ksubu when she leaves. But v'yeshla l'hachem stump. But what the husband could do is he could make in general a cherim. Al misha te'en his davar she'eni de'ez boi bevada. If she's making a claim with something that she does not definitively know, because we don't really know if she knows definitively or not, but we do believe her. So he can make such a cherem, but then when he divorces her, he has to give her the ksuba. Now, let's say she says, let's say she says, I don't know if it's from me or from him. Then she does not get the primary ksuba. Like we said in halacha ches, in the previous halacha, which, so we retain the money in the possession of its owners, meaning from him, she's trying to collect from him. Until she has a definite claim that she knows that when they're intimate, he's not able to shoot forth semen like an arrow. Now, says Rambam, as we mentioned before, why is she believed with this claim that she's saying he doesn't shoot forth like an arrow? Because she senses when they're intimate if his semen is shooting forth like an arrow or not. But when they margish, he can't not sense it. He doesn't know the difference. So therefore, if she's making such a claim, we believe him over him. We believe her over him that, yeah, he's not Yerik Chetz, and therefore, it's not her fault, and therefore she gets the ksuba. Halacha Yud. Ha'isha shebo le'tvoy mebalo, le'garsha, If a woman's coming to petition from her husband to divorce her, ach eser shanim, after 10 years, they're married, initially older, because she has not yet given birth. Now, we have to obviously be talking about, as the Mefarshim explained, that the husband already fulfilled the mitzvah of pirvut from another woman. Because if not, what's her claim? We would force him anyways to divorce her and give her the ksuba, as we said in Halacha Zayin. Or, it could even be he didn't fulfill the mitzvah yet, but he's claiming that I'm going to marry another woman and I don't want to divorce her. But she's saying, no, I want to get divorced. Now, she says, she's saying, yeah, but he doesn't shoot forth like an arrow. And therefore, I'm not going to have children from him. And even if, let's say, he once had children, maybe something happened to him and he's not able to give children anymore. So we listen to her. Now, the Rambam says, even though she's not commanded, what does that have to do? He wants to stay married. Or he could, whatever the reasoning is, even if it's 10 years. So what's she petitioning? She wants to get divorced. She doesn't have a mitzvah. What's her claim from? Says the Rambam, Tzrichi levan l'ziknusa, but she needs children for when she gets old and gray, where she needs children to be able to help her. But Kleifen is light, and if we force him to divorce her, the yitin ik ksuba bavad, but he only has to give the primary ksuba, the 100 or the 200, depending what she was when they got married. Shle kasuba had to say, because he did not add on the addition that he's going to give her, amanasha tesla tzayin nebetitel, that she should leave on her own will and take it, only when he's going to be divorcing her. Here it's her claim that's making him have to divorce her, so she does not get the teisavis. Another qualification is halacha yiralv, halacha b'schayr b'teichas Hashem. Let's say within those 10 years, he had left on business trips. Or during those 10 years, the husband was ill. Or she was ill, even if that didn't stop them from having intimacy. Or they were locked up in prison in those 10 years, even if they were intimate in jail. That time period does not get counted from the 10 years, because we say that maybe this, whatever the sin was that caused them to have this illness or being locked up in jail, that should not be counted, just like Avraham Avinu, that the 10 years only started once he came to Eretz Yisrael, not the sin that he was outside of Eretz Yisrael, was not counted from the 10 years. Halacha Yud Beis, let's say he pila. Let's say during those 10 years, she did conceive, but she had a miscarriage. Then Magen Yemim, she pila, you only start counting from the day that she miscarried. Now, related halacha is, let's say she miscarried, and again she miscarried, and this happened 3 times. So, then she already has a chazakah, she has a presumption that she miscarries. And therefore, maybe he's not going to ever marry to have children from her. So, he has to divorce her, but he has to give her the ksuba, even if it's within 10 years. Now, halacha yud gimel, related to this idea, let's say he says, she miscarried within the 10 years. And the reason why he's making such a claim is Kadesh Yishima, that he could maintain his marriage to her because you only start counting again from when she miscarried. So he says, 10 years, they're coming to courts and knocking, you have to divorce her. He says, oh, 3 years ago she had a miscarriage. The Yemesh, she says, Lo Yipalti, he says, I didn't miscarriage. And it's not that she was saying this claim because she wants to get divorced so that she can marry someone else, because she wasn't making a claim to get divorced. It's only when they're forcing him to divorce her and he's saying that she miscarried, she's saying, it's not true, I didn't miscarry. So the man that she's believed, and why she believed, because no woman would go ahead and make a claim that would show and indicate seemingly that she's a barren woman. And by saying that she didn't miscarry, it shows us that she's barren because she didn't have for 10 years. So he has to divorce her and give her the ksuba. Let's say he says regarding the other halacha of the previous halacha, let's say he says that she miscarried only 2 times. So I don't have to divorce her yet. She doesn't have a chazaka of that she miscarries. But if he hears, she says, it's not true, I had 3 miscarriages. The men that she's believed, again, why is she believed? No woman would willingly, if it wasn't true, make a presumption on herself that she's a woman who miscarries. And therefore, since she's believed, and she already had 3 miscarriages, so be yitzvid in ksuba, like we said in the previous halacha, he has to go ahead and divorce and give her the ksuba. Now, but says the Rambam, regarding all this that we said, mishbiya shvus heses. So although we're believing her, but we require her to make a rabbinic oath, which the Rambam is masik and disagrees on this, she has to swear shalah hipila, either regarding the first case that she did not miscarry in the 10 years, so if he has to divorce her, or that not only was it 2 times, she actually miscarried 3 times, and that he has to divorce her, but why does she have to make an oath? Because with this claim that she's saying, we obligate him to give her the ksuba, because he's denying what she's saying. And he's claiming definitively that, no, I don't have to divorce her. So therefore, he does not have to give the ksuba. So this is similar to a case of, even though we believe her, but it's like someone who's bringing a document on his friend. And the borrower is saying, yes, of course I owe you because you have the document, but you set me a certain time where and I don't have to pay it up yet. So the lender who has the document has to swear shvus heses and collect, like the Rambam writes in Perek Gimel Hilchos Mavon Leiva. So therefore that's the same thing over here, where although we believe her, she has to swear to collect the ksuba. Now, although the Rambam and Halacha Tes had written in that case, that all the husband does, she doesn't have to swear, but he just makes a chayr mistam and doesn't say that there's an oath, because over there he does not have a definitive claim. Because as we said, the husband is not marigish, he doesn't realize if he's yerik kechatz or not. So therefore, as the Magen Mishnah explains, we don't require a shuas hasis on a doubtful claim. But here he's claiming definitively that no, you only miscarried twice, or you never miscarried, that you miscarried once. So therefore, she would have to make a shuas hasis for this claim that we believe her to collect the gzuba. Halacha Yudalet. Says the Rambam, this is Larisha. Let's say she got married to her first husband. And she was married for 10 years and didn't give birth, and therefore he divorced her. Muteris Linos Lashenish permitted to marry a second husband because there's no presumption yet over here that she's a barren woman. Maybe just the two of them were not a shidduch in that way of having a children. Shasim Hashem Yasa Shon B'lo Yodah. Let's say she married another 10 years with a second husband and she did not give birth. Like Linos Lashlishi, she's not allowed to get married to a third husband because that's already a presumption from the two times that she's a barren woman. Now, B'mnis Lashlishi, she gets married to a third husband. Teitze, he immediately has to divorce her. Shaloi B'ksubu Arig Subo. But again, that's only if he didn't recognize that idea when he married her. But if he did know this, so then again, she's not less than an islandess that he knows that she gets a ksuba because, as Rama says later on Perek of Dalet, well, he wanted to lose his money. You knew that she's not an islandess, and therefore, then she would get a ksuba. But here we're talking about he didn't know this. He divorced her right away without a ksuba. Unless he has another wife, or she came into Perek Riba, or already filled with Perek Riba, then you could say married to this wife. But if not for that, you can't because you have to marry a woman that you could have children with. Halacha tazva. A woman comes to court and she says, "Bali my husband cannot have intimacy in the normal way. He's not able to, for some one reason or other, or erection or something, he's not able to have intimacy in a way that's going to bring about a child. Or he could have, but his semen is not shooting forth like an arrow. So what the judges do is they make some type of a compromise, which the word pshar is from like lukewarm, pasha, which is not hot, not cold, some in the more in the middle, some type of negotiations. But they tell her, look, rolach shetinhagi im bailech, it's appropriate that you accustom yourself with your husband, until you're married for at least 10 years, and then you have not yet had children. And then after 10 years, then come and make your claim. And they're busy, they involve themselves with her, with these negotiations. But they don't force her to stay married to him. And they don't educate her like the law of rebellious woman. She has a rather, but they lengthen the negotiation back and forth until somehow, somewhere, there's going to be some form of a compromise. Now, this is obviously only where the husband is denying it. But of course, if the man agrees that he does not have the ability and the potency of a regular man, he has to give the get and the ksuba right away. It's only where he's claiming that's not true. And then they try to come to some form of a compromise. Now, Halacha Dezayin, the Rambam continues in the related discussion regarding the Jewish version of family planning, building the Jewish family. Says the Rambam, Halacha Dezayin, Av Bishakim Ba'ad Mitzvah, even if a person already fulfilled the mitzvah of having children, Harei Mitzvah Medivri Seifim, which he had a boy and a girl, still rabbinically is commanded Shalivatam Alifritz of Libris, that he should not nullify from having children, Kozman Shish Bekech, as long as he has the ability to. And the reason is, Shekolam Moisim Nebeshach Lebiso, whoever adds on another Jewish soul, Kilbana Olam, it's as if he has built the world. One soul is like the whole world. And so too, there's another rabbinic commandment. A person should never be without a wife. Like the Pasuk says, it's not good for a person to be alone. And the reason is, they hear that it shouldn't come to illicit improper thoughts. Additionally, a woman should not be without a man. She shouldn't be suspect that she's doing other things that are inappropriate. It's appropriate for a man and a woman to be married at all times. Now, halacha yadzayin. Additionally, regarding marital conduct, there's an obligation on every single man to warn his wife not to act in inappropriate conduct. Now, as Amr Chacham, as the sages themselves said, in Odom Mekan L'Ishtoi, a man does not warn his wife regarding inappropriate conduct, unless there enters into him a spirit of purity, which is, it's a holy thing to tell his wife and say what's appropriate, what's not. But, as the Rambam points out, as extremes are generally never good, but he shouldn't warn her more than what's necessary. Additionally, he should not force his wife and to cohabit with her forcibly, rather her understanding, her consent, with schmoozing, with simcha, and joy. It's supposed to be a loving experience. Halacha Yudches continues the Rambam on this theme, so too the sages commented on the woman. She should be modest in her house. She shouldn't increase frivolity and lightheadedness in front of her husband. She should not explicitly, verbally petition her husband for marital intimacy. She shouldn't be speaking about these types of things. Additionally, she should not hold back from her husband being intimate with him, to pain him, until he loves her more. El rather, whenever he desires, she should listen to him, and they should have intimacy. She shows to be careful from his relatives and his family members. Meaning, be careful in the relationship she's having with his family members, so that again, it shouldn't pass in front of him a spirit of jealousy, because he's going to say, "What are you doing with my brother, with my father, with all these different family members?" She should be careful in how her conduct is. And additionally, in general, she should remove herself from all types of repulsive activities that have a sinful element to them, even though it's not a clear-cut violation of forbidden relationships. And anything even similar to those type of things, of disgusting types of arayas, a woman should distance herself from that. Halachiyotes. Also, the sages had commanded, and these are all regarding the marital harmony, marital intimacy. A man should honor his wife more than his body. He should love her like his own body. If he has money, give him money that he should increase the good that he does for her according to the relative amount of money that he has. He should not impose an overly stringent amount of awe and trepidation in his house. He should speak with her with calm. He shouldn't be depressed. He should not angry. He should have an appropriate contact with his wife. So did they command it on the woman. That she should honor her husband more than what's sufficient. She should have awe from him. And that she should do all her actions based on the word of his mouth. He should be in her eyes like an officer, a king. She goes into the desires of his heart. She keeps away whatever he despises. And says the Rambam, you want to know the secret to Shalom Bayis? Says the Rambam, this is the path of the Jewish women and the Jewish men. That are holy and that are pure in their mating, in their couplehood, in their marriage. And in these ways, then their settlement will be beautiful and praiseworthy, as these are famous words of the Rambam for Shalom Bayis, that we should all be zeicha to follow in these ways and to honor our spouses in a greater level of dignity and respect and love and friendship.